Good morning, everyone. I'm sure my microphone thought it didn't sound like it was. It is the Lord's Day. I know you hear me say that quite often when I'm up here introducing a lesson, but I never am not amazed that we have the opportunity that we have on the first day of every week to be able to gather together, to lift our voices in song, to remember our Lord's death and that memorial feast that we just partaken of, and to be able to have fellowship with one another and with God on this day. I will always be amazed that God has allowed us to do those things. But I'm even more in awe of the fact that I have brethren of like precious faith who want to do those things. Not feel like they have to do them, but have a desire based on the love that they have for God and for His Son, Jesus Christ, that they want to gather together. And it's a blessing, isn't it, to be able to do that? You know, one of the greatest blessings that we have is the blood of Jesus Christ, and that blood provides us with opportunities. The greatest of all of those opportunities is eternal life. I said recently on a Facebook post in basically this, that the Bible in general points us in that direction to eternity. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And if you look at the title of the lesson this morning, Eternal Life Insurance, the Bible provides that for us. I'm going to ask that you bear with me for a little bit this morning in this lesson, because I'm going to use some human terminology to describe some heavenly things that are provided for us in Scripture. And I think that they're going to be, I believe that they will be accurate in description. But all of us have basically been preparing for death in our lives, whether we realize it or not. You know, that word eternity is something that we're preparing for. That idea that is set forth in Scriptures and is defined for us, so the Greek word eternal that's used for eternal means without beginning or end, that which always has been and always will be. Or in our case, it's going to be without end, never to cease, everlasting. And we're looking forward to that, aren't we? That is one of the things that we are desiring. One of the reasons that you're here this morning is you want to spend that... because if I don't, I'm going to be corrected right off the bat. You cannot spend eternity with God, okay? You may live eternally with God, and that's what we're striving for. You can't spend something that is indeterminate and has no time or duration involved in it. And I want us to understand from this definition of eternity, we conclude that eternity refers to a period of time that is going to be perpetual for us. In our songbook, we get the idea from the song Amazing Grace, when we've been there 10,000 years, there's still more time to come when we sing that song, don't we? We understand that the perpetual nature is, it's going to be never ending for us. But I want to talk about that which is preparing you for that eternity this morning. Every one of us, we live in a society that says insurance is necessary, don't we? We have health insurance. You have insurance for your cars, for your homes. You buy insurance for those types of things out of necessity. And very likely you've been convinced that you need life insurance for when you die to help those who will live on after you. Our insurances, though, in the world that we live in today are based upon our age, aren't they? I get into that point in my life where I get tired of hearing, well, at your age. And I hear, you know, insurance salesmen say, well, at your age, your premium is going to be, I don't like that, based on my age. An insurance salesman might be sitting in your home or in your business or wherever you might be, and they're telling you how much money you're going to have to spend to prepare for health or for your death. But I tell you what, I do know this, and I don't know if it's that way now or as much as it used to be, but when you hit the age of 50 and you're trying to buy life insurance, some companies make you take a physical. I don't know if they still require that for all of us or not, but you get to that certain age, they want to make sure that you're in good health, that you're insurable. What I want to suggest to us this morning is when we look at the Word of God, and we look at things that prepare us for eternity, age is not going to be an issue. Race, nationality, none of those things are going to be an issue. Because everyone can have an eternal life insurance policy. Not everyone will purchase one, or not everyone will accept the purchase price that has already been paid for one. But when I think about this, somewhere in the process of asking you to buy an insurance product, that salesman is going to try to sell you, or at least convince you, that his company is going to have the proper, or is going to be the company you want them to use to buy that insurance. And so, like I said, I'm going to use some human terms this morning. And we're going to talk about the church a little bit. We're going to talk about Christ and some things along the way. But if an insurance salesman is going to talk to you about the company that he represents and convince you that it's the best one out there in the market today, I want to convince you that the church that Jesus Christ built, promised to build, is the best place for you to be. To be a part of it. To guarantee that eternal life insurance that you have. Because when you think about some of the essentials about the company that, and like I said, I'm using human terms here, and I don't mean to disparage it in that way, but keeping in mind what we're looking at, when we're talking about the church in general, we looked at something in Matthew chapter 16 a little while ago in the scripture reading that tells us who the founder of that company is, and that's Jesus Christ himself. Because he said, upon this rock I will build my church. It's not going to belong to anybody else. It's going to be his church. And as the founder of that church, we need to understand a few other things about it along the way as well. Where does, you know, if you think about State Farm or Allstate or some of those insurance companies out there in the world today, you know that there is a founder for those companies. You know that there is a place where the business started. Well, I know where the church started too. I know that Jesus Christ, being the founder of that church, I also know that he told his disciples in Acts chapter 2 that they were to stay in Jerusalem and they were going to stay there for a reason. But in Isaiah chapter 2, I also know that the city of Jerusalem would be the place that the gospel would sound forth from. In Isaiah chapter 2, and beginning at verse 2, it says, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above all hills, and all nations shall flow to it. One of the things that I understand about the prophecy and that right there was that it was going to begin in Jerusalem, and it wasn't just going to be for Israel only. Jesus Christ was going to build his church for all people to come to. But it would begin in Jerusalem, and nations would come to it. And you see that taking place on the day of Pentecost. In verse 3 of that same chapter, it was going to say, many people shall come and say, come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. It was began in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, A.D. 33, in Acts chapter 2. You see there that the disciples had gathered together and they were waiting. Nations of people were there on this particular day, had been observing the Passover, and they had stayed for Pentecost as well. And now Peter is going to stand up and he's going to begin preaching. 3,000 people on that day are going to be the first ones recorded in Scripture for us that gain eternal life insurance policies. They will have been baptized for the remission of their sins. Those same people are going to continue in the teaching of the apostles' doctrine. And what you see in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 is this policy of eternal life is available to other people. And those who were saved, God was adding them to the church. It's an amazing story when you think about what takes place within Scriptures for all people. That being founded on the day of Pentecost here on earth, but yet it is Jesus Christ who is the head over all things to the church. It is Jesus Christ who is sitting on His throne, and His place where He occupies that throne is in heaven. And so if you want to think about it in terms of corporate headquarters, heaven is corporate headquarters in that sense. Because it is there that we are supposed to set our focus. Because if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Consider that you think about the church and where it is spread. You know, State Farm has several offices just right here within the city of Fort Smith. They had offices in Pampa, Texas, where we moved from. They had offices in the small town of Portales, New Mexico prior to that. The church has places all around the world that people can go to and hear the gospel and understand that Jesus Christ is its builder, is its head, is the one who died and redeemed the church with His blood. And they can have eternal life insurance by coming to Christ and dwelling in His church. You think about this, the churches of Christ salute you. Romans chapter 16 and verse 16 say those types of things to us all the time. But you think about this. You have a place that you can go in just about any city around the world. You can find God's people there. People who want to live eternally with Him. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, they've made it possible. It's been made possible for us to have eternal life insurance. See, this book right here, you know, every insurance agent has a rate book, whether it's a literal book like this or if it's on his computer nowadays. And they can tell you what your premium is going to be, but this book right here tells us what ours is. These rates are the same. I'll tell you this. The rates are the same for every individual, regardless of age, regardless of sex, regardless of race, nationality, because it is provided to us in such a way that it is inspired by God. All Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly furnished to every good work. I understand that. And it is in that book that I find out what we need to do in order to be saved, in order to obtain that eternal life insurance. But I want you to think about this. There's more to this, because you think about insurance companies today, you want to make sure that they are financially viable. You want to make sure that you're not just throwing your money away and that you will get a return on what you are spending your money for today. Well, let me suggest this, that in the kingdom of God, when you think about the standing of the church, and I'm not talking about a number here over on the board, I'm talking about a weekly contribution. I'm talking about the well-being of God, His Son, the founder of the church. And I want you to look at that name. Christ promised to build His church. We look at company names like Allstate, and what do we think about that? You think about their name, Like a Good Neighbor? No, that's State Farm, isn't it? Allstate is Good Hands People. But let me tell you this, you'll never be in better hands than in the hands of the Savior. You'll never have a better neighbor than Jesus Christ as a friend. But when you think about financial standing or how well off this company is, it has riches beyond compare. I think about that. You think about what we preach. Well, we preach Jesus Christ crucified. We preach Him raised on that third day. And we preach salvation to individuals and what they need to do to be saved. But Paul, he even goes further than that, because when we teach those types of lessons, what we're doing is we're preaching more than just about being dipped in water and raised to walk in newness of life. We're also talking about the unfathomable, that's an easy word to say, isn't it? Unfathomable riches of Christ. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8 in the New King James says the unsearchable riches, but the New American Standard says unfathomable. It means it's beyond our comprehension. We think about the wealth of individuals in the world today, and we can think about millionaires and billionaires, and we can wrap our minds, well, we might not be able to wrap our minds around being a billionaire, but we can wrap around our minds around monetary wealth, can't we? But you think about all of the spiritual wealth that is involved in being part of this church, being part of God's kingdom. It's beyond our wildest dreams. We can have some pretty good imaginations about how rich it will be and how awesome it will be to be in heaven. Because it has a home there reserved. When you think about this, it's reserved for you in heaven. All this abundant life that God, Jesus Christ said He came into the world to provide for His disciples in John chapter 10, it's there in heaven. It's there for us. It's reserved for us in heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved for you in heaven. Company has no liabilities because there's no debt. Think about that for just a moment. That long-term debt was paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross. Sin was our debt. The debt that we could never repay. And it was Jesus Christ who went to that cross for us so that we could live eternally with God. At the time He died, He took away our sins. You think about words like, if God is for us, who can be against us? You think about words about who can separate us from Him. Well, the only ones that can separate you from God is yourself. But we will have eternal victory. And you think about the surplus that's involved. The riches of the church are of such magnitude that when you think about them, that we're looking for souls to invest their lives in it. Aren't we? Are we not wanting to share the wealth in this particular case? Are we not wanting individuals to have that same insurance that we have that allows us to be able to live eternally with God? The riches of the church are such that we should be. Let's put it this way. There has not been any shortfalls in resources since the day of Pentecost. There are no projections of downturns in the gospel. It still has the same power to save people's souls. You know, we look at our economy and we look at the ups and downs of the stock market. We think about surpluses and declines in inventories. No such thing takes place in the kingdom of God. The Lord wants all men to come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. It's that long suffering that He's given us that time to do that very thing. But Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To Him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You see, what's important to us is to understand that when we buy a life insurance policy, it doesn't pay out until we die. But when we think about life in general as a child of God, the dividends that we will receive for being a child of God are going to be paid out when we see God face to face in judgment. It will be paid on that day. But what I would suggest is that if you deny yourself and invest yourself in Jesus Christ, your investment will be far greater than any annuity that you could ever have in a whole life or universal life insurance policy here on earth. It will bring you a greater investment than any CD or money market account that you could ever have here, or any riches or wealth that you might gain from the stock market. We will receive eternal life. Mark chapter 10 and verse 30. Jesus Christ is answering a question from His disciples about what they're going to receive for being His disciples. And He talks about those things, about who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. More there awaits us than anything that we can ever imagine here. But I also want you to know that every insurance policy that you have has some small disclaimers to them, doesn't it? And I'll suggest that there's nothing different about this eternal life insurance policy either. There are some things that are not covered, and people who will not be covered by it. Those who refuse to hear Christ will not be covered by this policy. You think about it, Acts chapter 2 or 3 and verse 22 and 23. Peter there is quoting Moses and what Moses has said about raising up a prophet like him. And Moses said, "Him you shall hear." But in verse 23, "And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people." Those people are without hope. Those people will be the ones who will not share in the abundance and glory of heaven, because they have made a choice not to listen. The people who did not believe when Jesus Christ was here on earth. In John chapter 8 and verse 24 says, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." You see, when Jesus was ready to ascend into heaven and He was extending His great commission to His disciples, He told them to go into all the world to preach the gospel. And in Mark chapter 16, He said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned." See, I don't believe this disclaimer is in small print. This isn't the fine print that we always often overlook and read. This is in big, bold letters in the New Testament. This is there for everybody to be able to see and for everybody to be able to understand. But we want it to be made public and let everybody understand that people who refuse to believe will not be there. People who refuse to not hear will not be there. People who refuse to repent are not going to be there. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3 through 5, and actually just verse 3, it's repeated in verse 5. Jesus Christ tells those who are listening, "I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Change is absolutely necessary. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, the Apostle Paul at Mars Hill, talking to those who are of a polytheistic persuasion has tried to convince them about that unknown God that they had built that image to. And he has told them there in verse 30, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. It's not something that can be avoided. It is a requirement to have eternal life insurance. And if you open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, when we talk about preaching the gospel, when we talk about preaching about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and we talk about all of these messages that are available to men to convince them that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then we can also see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 that people who refuse that gospel message, they will not be in heaven. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 7. When you look at it, it says, "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power." You see, what you don't realize, eternal life insurance is also eternal fire insurance. It will prevent you from getting burnt. It will prevent you from being tormented for eternity. It's wonderful when I think about all of this and understand that these people who will not hear, will not repent, who will not believe, who refuse to obey the gospel, they're also people who deny Christ. Those people who deny Christ will be denied by Him. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Verse 32 says, "If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father." Verse 33 says just the opposite of that, doesn't it? That if we refuse to confess Him, He's going to refuse to do the same for us. And there are people in the world, sadly, who are denying that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, denying that God exists. "But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven." And unfortunately, it doesn't just mean that we deny Him with our words, we deny Him with our actions as well. And those who continue to serve the old law, unfortunately, for them, they will have fallen from grace, according to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. And those who desire to live according to the flesh, they're going to reap their reward. See, the struggle between the flesh and the spirit is real. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, Paul addresses those things. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, you get a picture there of who will not be in heaven. We have a joke, a little lighthearted thing about Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8 among some friends of ours. Because it says right there, it talks about all of those who will go to hell. It's Revelation 21:8, liars go to hell. And some people don't think that that's the big deal in life, but I'm not going to sing what we say there. But just understand that when you think about all the disclaimers, these are exclusions. And only those people who truly want to be part of God's kingdom will be there. And even those people who are identified as causing division and strife in Romans chapter 16, the ones that Paul told them to mark, they won't be there either. But you know what? We've talked about the company. We've talked about some disclaimers. But there's one thing that will always be there. Think about the benefits of being a child of God. Think about the benefits of being part of the church that Jesus Christ said that He promised to build. Because with every insurance plan, there are benefits. And the first and foremost of all is forgiveness of sins. There isn't anyone who will come to Christ that will not receive forgiveness of sins. And this was planned by God. The foreknowledge of God, predetermined by God that this would take place. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His will. You see, this plan ensures against eternal death. Because Romans chapter 6, the wages of sin is death. And in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 11, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. What greater news is there than that? What more powerful draw to God can there be to know that we can live eternally with Him? And as I said earlier, it provides eternal fire insurance. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, in that scene of judgment that takes place there, Jesus Christ talks about those who are going to be cast off, and these will go away into an everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. 1 John chapter 2, and this is the promise He has promised to us. Eternal life. So we have an advocate with the Father. We have a propitiation for our sins is what we have with Him. 1 John chapter 2 verses 1 and 2. And it's not just for me. It's for everyone. When you think about what John says in 1 John chapter 2 verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the whole world. See, this eternal life insurance policy was written for everyone. This eternal life insurance policy was written so that everyone could come to God and have salvation. Eternal life. Though He was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered, and having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Eternal salvation is ours. You see, there is no age limit. There is no health restrictions. You will not be turned down if you are obedient to the will of God. And just like every policy, there are beneficiaries. And in this particular case, we have to understand the policy can't be transferred. You're the beneficiary of it. It's not inherited by any family member. After you die, they have to purchase their own policy. Every person, therefore, is responsible for their own life. For we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Romans chapter 14, verse 12, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. But that eternal life insurance policy can be yours, if you desire it to be. I want you to think about this for just a moment, that everything that I've discussed this morning has to do with the individual. Did I purchase a policy? Have I got this eternal life insurance policy? Does Cindy have one? Does Ron have one? Does Jay have one? I'm mentioning people that I believe have already got this. But not everybody does. The life insurance agent may ask you what will happen to your family when you die. But here's the thing. The Bible basically asks you this question. What will become of you? And when we offer an invitation at the end of a sermon, it's to provide you that opportunity to answer that question. What's going to become of you eternally? What will happen to your soul? Will it live eternally with God? Or will it be eternally separated in torment? For those who do not have life, eternal life insurance, eternity is going to be way too long. But for those who have it, those who are willing to count the cost, those who are willing to deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow Jesus, eternity is just going to be just right. So, as an old friend and fellow preacher has said, if you miss heaven, you've missed it all. Don't miss out. If you've never obeyed the gospel, don't be one of those people that was mentioned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 who will be punished for being disobedient to the gospel. Be one who obeys it. Be one who is a hearer of the Son of God, one who is a believer in the Son of God, one who is willing to repent, one who is willing to confess Him, one who is willing to be buried for baptism for the remission of sins. Be one who will be obedient to the will of God, and all the benefits of the eternal life insurance policy that the Scriptures teach about will be yours. And if for some reason you decided to tear up your policy, throw it out, and thought it was worthless, and now realize that I was wrong, and you want to be back in fellowship with God, then it's time to renew the policy. Come back to Him. Repent of your sins. Confess them to Him. He'll forgive you. And at the end of life, the words that you want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my rest," is the words that we all want to hear. But make sure that you have eternal life insurance. Won't you come to this morning as together we stand and as we sing.